This is the New Life Rancho Vista podcast. We are a church committed to loving God, growing together, and serving others. Our prayer and desire is that this message from our campus pastor, Peter Moore, will be a help and an encouragement to you, regardless of where you are in your relationship with Jesus. So let's open our hearts and minds as we turn our attention to the incredible truths God has for us today.
If you would, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter number 23. And we'll begin reading verse number 45. It says, "And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Can you say those 8 words with me? Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. These words in this passage of Scripture, Father, were the Aramaic word Abba. Pathos was the word in Greek, or pathos. It was this word that both the Greek and the Hebrew culture would point to as the first thing that any child would learn. And so the children would be raised with the father's name being the first name uttered. Now, I tried this with Camden. I have 2 sons, one Camden, one Chandler. And I tried to get Camden to say dad as his first words. But we had some babysitters who were watching him. And when he was just like 1 year old, they videoed him saying the word Yankee. But it didn't really sound like Yankee. It was just like baby slur. So we didn't count that one. But I remember one time we were on our living room floor and I was kind of passing a ball back and forth. And Camden said his first word, and it was not dad, it was not Jesus, it was ball. And I was so disappointed. I mean, most parents are like, yes, his first word, you know, but I was like, no, I wanted it to be dad. I know that's really narcissistic of me, okay? But I think every child learns mom or dad and the very first statements they make, and certainly Jesus, one of the first statements he made recorded in Scripture was, "Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" He was saying, I need to be about my heavenly mission. And now we're hearing his words about his Father, toward his Father, to his Father in prayer, saying, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." Now, in a moment, we'll see how that was David's prayer as well. But even today, Jews teach their children this prayer, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." Have you ever heard the prayer, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray my soul to keep"? That is a variation of this prayer. The fact of the matter is, for centuries, parents have been teaching this as a bedtime prayer. And this was the final prayer that Jesus spoke. And it was the prayer that he spoke from the cross to his Father, asking him to receive his spirit. He was entrusting his spirit to him. Now, I want to explain where we're at here, and we might have a picture of the greater, kind of a sketch of the greater temple area. There was an old wall, and right at the very top of the screen, if you guys want to go back, right at the very top of the screen was where they believe that the wall would have been positioned based on where we know the temple was. And the Golgotha or Calvary would have been very close to the temple. In fact, you can go to the next slide now. And this is where Jesus was, and we don't know exactly his orientation, but we know that he would have been able to see the temple from Mount Calvary. And as he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me," which we talked about last week, when he said, "Why have you forsaken me?" And he cries that out. We know that the temple veil from the very top to the bottom was split in two, signifying the fact that now, because Jesus was split for us, he was torn apart from his flesh was torn, now we have access to God. And by the way, what I'm passionate about is connecting you to your Creator, connecting to God. And one of the things that Jesus did when he was on the cross was he took the punishment for our sin, and he was putting on your sin and my sin on his perfect sinless body and his perfect sinless soul. He was taking on that sin, and then he was allowing the sin to be atoned for. You see, the Day of Atonement was, if you may, a time where the lamb would be slain, and they would actually place their hands on the head of the lamb or the sacrifice, and they would say a prayer of atonement. And their prayer of atonement was transferring all of the sins from all of the people of Israel onto that sacrifice. And then once they were done with that prayer, they would sacrifice the lamb. They would kill the lamb. And so that's what Jesus was doing on this hill right next to the temple. And the reason why that is so very important to understand is that Jesus, when he said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit," was not just saying, "It is finished." Yes, it was finished. But now he was saying, "I am all yours. Everything I have done has not been my bodily desire, but it has been your will." It was an act of total surrender. It was an act of total love. And it was a heart cry to say, "Now I am going to stop breathing because my mission is complete." Now let me just tell you something. If you walked in here today and you have breath in your lungs, and by the way, ushers, if there's someone without breath, okay, please, there's a defibrillator right in the other room, okay? But my point is, if you came in here with breath in your lungs, there is still a purpose and a mission that God has for you. And he wants you to know that until that last breath expires out of your earthly fleshly body, he has a plan for you, he has a purpose for you, he has a mission for you, and it's the reason why he placed you on this planet. And so I want to give you these three phrases, and I want to show you how they can cure the controlling heart, the heart that wants the control, and they can heal the broken heart. Now, I know that there are many hearts in here that are broken, many hearts in here that are heavy this morning, and there's many reasons to have a heavy heart. But let me just tell you something, that God has given you a plan and a purpose, and that plan and purpose can not just relieve the heaviness in the moment, but can relieve the heaviness of a lifetime. And so look at these three phrases, and the first one we understand, "Father, into thine hands." We know that broken hearts are healed, number one, by the Father's hands. Broken hearts are healed by the Father's hands. It is your Father's hands that your broken spirit, your broken heart, your broken relationship must be placed into. So the fact that Jesus was focusing on the Father during this very intense moment on the cross should be our pattern for taking care of our hearts. When we don't know how to deal with the pain, when we don't know how to deal with the struggle, we can look to the pattern of Jesus and say, instead of focusing on my pain, I'm going to focus on the Father. You see, Jesus said, don't focus on what men can do. He said, man's hands will always bring havoc. It'll always bring destructions. He said, but God's hands, Matthew chapter 10 and 28, he said, but fear what God can do. You see, God's hands are powerful. God's hands are perfect. God's hands can take something and make something with it. But our hands are faulty. Our hands will fail. Now, I asked Joe if I could do this. Joe, come on up here, okay? Joe had the day off from kids. He normally teaches kids every other week. Joe last summer was an intern, and he was the best intern we have ever had. I think he was the only intern we've ever had. He's the only intern we've ever had. But he was awesome. And I say that, all joking aside, literally last summer, God used him in such a great way. And how many of you know God is using him here? Man, God's really using him here. And so, but last summer we started out and we were really excited about what God was going to do. And man, one of the first weeks, I think it was about a month in, We were just getting some traction, and I forget what happened, but he was going to leave somewhere, and he left, and about a half an hour he came back, and man, how many of you know when someone has a look on their face like something happened, and he's like, man, he's like, I was pulling out of the parking lot, and he's like, I just crashed into someone's car in the church van. I was like, oh, Joe, it's fine. It's no problem. Well, just a few seconds later, the former sheriff captain comes walking in my office. I'm like, hey, what's going on? He's like, hey, one of your guys just crashed into my car. And I'm like, oh, Joe, of all cars. And they fixed it, and it was fine. And about a week later, we were waiting for some people to come and unlock a storage container where our baptistry was, and we were sitting there, and there was a truck right here, and there was the storage container right here, and we were facing this way, and we were just really trying to wait for this guy. He was supposed to be there. He was running late, and I said, hey, let's try to hit that bin over there. We're just throwing some rocks, trying to hit a bin, just passing some time, and man, Joe wound up and threw it, and it flung way out of his hand, and it hit the windshield of the truck and just shattered the windshield. I was like, oh, Joe, no, it's no problem. That was my fault. We shouldn't have been doing that. Like 1 week later, he's over here in these hills with someone else, and he's riding on a bike, and he's going down the steep hill, and he locked it up. And he fell over, and I'm just so thankful that he's alive. He broke his collarbone. So painful. And I saw him, and I'm like, oh, Joe, man, what is going on? Like, what next? And we watched God use that, and God did use it for his good and his glory. And I will tell you, out of that, I could tell you some amazing things that God did. And it really knit our hearts together. After I asked him if he was like Jonah or, you know, Job. No. But I teased him a lot about it, and we had a good time. But I will tell you something. When in that short period of time, Joe learned that all of us can take something. And by the way, you can grab something in your hand and do with it what you please, but it's always going to cause destruction. It's always going to cause disappointment. Thank you, Joe. Thank Joe for being the, for. I'm normally the one telling my stories, but he said, yeah, you can use that. So I appreciate that. But we've had a much better summer this last summer. How many of you are glad for that? But anything in our hands, within a couple week period, a rock, a steering wheel, and a bike, okay, had just caused havoc in his life. But how many of you know when I take my own marriage in my hands? How many of you know when I take my own parenting style in my hands? How many of you know when I take my own control into my hands and I'm not putting it into the Father's hands, it'll always cause pain, it'll always cause problems, it'll always cause a shattered, ruptured life because we're holding on to what we want with our hands. And so the Father's hands is the safest place to put it in. I love what, this is the prophetic psalm, Psalm chapter 31, and verse number 5. This is what Jesus was quoting on the cross. And he says, into thine hands I commit my spirit. This was, of course, David saying this, but prophetically every psalm was about Jesus. And thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. Let's say that together. But I trust in the Lord. How many of you know that when we commit something to the Lord, when we put it in his hands, we are trusting the Lord? And David said, I trust in the Lord. I don't care what anyone else says. I'm going to trust in the Lord. And there's so many people that try to put their trust in things. There's so many people that try to put their trust in self-help, books and other people. But my point is, when we put our trust in the Lord, then we can live in truth. Then we can live in his power. And so trust is an act of adoration and worship. We bow the most to what we trust the most. And so we can either say, I trust you, God, and my life is yours, or we can say that, and then our life will tell a different story. But the reality is, we either trust him or we don't. And I have had so many moments in this last 6 day period that I have had to say, okay, I'm either trusting him or I'm not. Like, I say I trust him, but is my spirit bearing witness with that? How many of you know our lips and our lives can tell two different stories? How many of you believe that? And so we have to come to the understanding that trusting in the Lord is placing something into his hands. So a few verses down in Psalm 31 and verse number 14, it says this. It says, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. I love that. My God. My times are in where? Thy hand. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me. I love that verse. My times are in thy hand. I don't know what times you're going through right now. Maybe it's tough times. Maybe you're like, man, I identify with Joe. That was a tough time. I'm going through a tough time. Everything seems to be, you know, we say when it rains, it pours. I mean, you know, there's some tough times. Maybe you're going through a tight time. Maybe it's tight financially. Maybe it's tension and family. I don't know what your times are right now, but whatever's going on in your life, if you'll place it into his hands, he can do with it what you cannot. Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe it's this feeling of doubt. Place whatever you're going through right now into his hands. And so my God is able to do with it what I cannot do myself. And so the hand of God is bigger and more powerful than any person or problem. And nothing can remove you from his hands. Once you've been placed into his hand by Jesus Christ, Paul put it this way, that he can keep what you've committed until he calls you home. I mean, Paul was basically saying in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 1:12 that this life, when it's passed over, God's the one that commits, that you're committing it to, and he's the one that can carry you over to the other side, to heaven when you die. And so the Father is greater than all, Jesus said, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. So the Heavenly Father can handle anything you put into his hands. Now, this was a long time ago. This is an old video, but I want to show you, during the Olympics, Allstate had this commercial. I think it really illustrates this point well, because what's Allstate's motto? You're in good hands. They've done a pretty good job at marketing, okay? And so you're in good hands. I worked for Allstate for a couple years in college, and that's how we had to train our representative to answer, you're in good hands with Allstate. How can we help you? You know, but they did a kind of a playoff of this with the Olympics, because you know the Olympians that the Olympian gold medalist, I think it was Sean Penn, I can't remember the guy's name, but he, you know, broke all the records for deadlifts and everything. They played this commercial kind of after the Olympics and during the Olympics. So if you have that, guys, go ahead.
Allstate would like to salute all the U.S. athletes who have taken a stand to become the best in the world. And with records certain to fall, the only question we have is, are you in good hands?
Are you in good hands? Have you ever felt like, God, if I truly let go of this, it's going to be a disaster? Have you ever felt like, man, God, I know you can handle this, but man, I feel like if I drop it, it's going to be like a ton of bricks. I feel like it's going to hurt someone if I let go. I feel like, God, if I really do confess it, if I really do release it to you, if I really do let go, if I place it in your hands, then you might ask me to do something that I don't want. You might ask me to do something that I'm afraid of. And so we have this fear in our mind that the weight that we're carrying, that if we give it to God, that it might fall. You ever been there? I've been there. It might fall, God. What might happen if I let you have the burden, if I cast the burden off of my shoulders onto yours? Let me tell you something. The cross communicates that he can carry what you can't handle. That he can handle what you can't handle. The cross says, I've done it, I've finished it, I can carry that. In fact, I died to carry that burden. Friend, don't leave this place today carrying the weight of your sin. Don't leave this place today carrying the weight that you were never intended to carry. There's a weight limit on your soul, and many of us have superseded that weight limit. There are certain burdens and worries that we're carrying, and we were never meant to carry them. And so, place it into the Father's hands. How do we do this? How do we do this? Number two, broken hearts are cured by surrendering control. So you say, well, I want to place it in the Father's hands. I want to. But how do I do that? What does that look like for me? And I'll say this is what it looks like. The word come in is the word peritithe. It's interesting. Peritithing me. That's the Greek word. But it literally was the word they would use for a lockbox. It means to place before, place beside. Okay, so the word tithe, paratithe, means to place beside. It was the word that they would use in the Old Testament when they would take the gift to the altar and they would place the basket. Remember the first fruits? They would place the basket in front of the altar, in the temple. They would place it and they would put it before them as an act of worship. But the reality is, this word that he's using is the word commit or entrust. I commit my spirit or I entrust my spirit. But when they would think about it, the word picture was a safe place. I entrust it. I lock it in. That was the Hebrew and the Greek word for this, the ancient word. And so I wanted to illustrate what this means. If I am going to commit, entrust it, not just trust, but entrust, okay? To place it into his hands, to entrust him with it. I am going to need to put it in a safe place, okay? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to represent, I'm going to have, Joe, if you could help me. This is going to represent our hands, Joe's hands, okay, specifically, okay? Just for this illustration, I mean, there's nothing wrong with his hands, but his hands are illustrating how sometimes we all have faulty, you know, hands, faulty reactions. These are God's hands, okay? And so we have a choice. Go ahead and take the lid off of that. We can put things, we try to fit things in our hands, try to make it work, or we can try to put it in God's hands. And here's what Jesus said. Everything my whole life, God, I'm committing. I am entrusting everything into your hands, my entire life. So my marriage. Today, some of you need to say, you know, I've been really controlling. And so God, together we're going to submit unto you. I'm going to put my marriage into your hands. I'm going to place the control. I'm going to surrender the control of my marriage. Some of you have been a little bitter at God because of a health trial. Let me just say, place that health trial, that pain. Some of you have constant chronic pain, and I hate it, and I pray that God will take it away. But you can either do your best to get that thing fitting in there a little bit better, and or you can just say, God, I don't know why I have pain. I've done everything I can, but I'm going to place that pain into your hands. Some of you today look at finances and you say, I don't know how it's all going to work. I can't pay my bills that I have right now, much less all these other bills, much less honor the Lord. I can't do that. And you can try to fit it in your hands. You can try to make it fit on your own, or you can say, God, I'm going to just honor you. I'm going to place what you have required, what you say will be blessed in your hands. Some of you have been really, really trying to mold your children. and you're grabbing onto them with everything you can. You're trying to force them into this mold, and you're saying they won't go into the mold. And I've done this. I've been here. But you know, an amazing thing will happen when you just say, God, I'm going to do my best. They're a gift from you. I'm going to place them in your hands. When you place them in the Father's hands, they're safe. Anything that you try, whether it's your past or whether it's some friendship that you're trying to control it. How many of you know we have this tendency to want to control, want to do it on our own? But when we try to do it on our own, we'll always fail. And let me just encourage you, do what Jesus did. Place it into the Father's hands. Commit it. Entrust it into the Spirit. And this is why Jesus talked about, and he actually used this word many times. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that. He actually used this word, paratithemi, many, many different times. And one of the instances, this is many, but one of the instances was in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 19. And he says this, lay not up for yourself treasures. The word lay, both used here, is the word paratithemi. So he says, don't entrust your treasures upon this earth and things in your own hands where moths and rust corrupts. How many of you know it's a lot easier for a thief to get into this than it is to get into this? And so he says, you have a choice. You can control it on your own. You can be the keeper of it. You can be the guarder of it. He says, or you can paratithemi, you can lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where they won't, they can't be stolen. They can't rust. They can't leave you. Where thieves can't break in and steal. He says, for where your treasure is, let's say it together, there will your heart be also. Now, this is a problem that a lot of people have with church because they look at church as just trying to get your money. Maybe some churches are. But let me tell you about this church. This church is desperately trying to allow you to give God your heart. And here's why I'm never ashamed of talking about money or our hearts, because they're completely connected. And so you say, well, how do I surrender control? Let me ask you, what are you holding on to? Let me ask it another way. What are you worried about? That's what you need to entrust to him. Worry is a bold statement that you do not trust the Lord. Worry is practical, pragmatic atheism. It's saying, God, I say I believe you, but my life tells a different story. Worry is saying that I cannot trust God with the outcome, so I'm going to have to be the one to bring the outcome. So what are we going to entrust into the Father's hands? And so as wrong as I think it is, as some people to harp on finances, I think it's so wrong for us not to talk about it as well. Because Jesus said there's going to be either someone controlling you, that's finances, job, a spouse, a friend. There's going to be someone that's going to be your master, or something that's going to be your master. If it's not money, it's something else. Something is going to master you, or you're going to give your life to the master. And so the question is, what are you going, or what do you need to place into the master's hands? And so our actions are an indication of the heart. And sometimes what we're holding on to so tightly is actually holding on to us. It has us in such a tight grip because we will not release control. And the desire to control is the desire for devotion and attention. When you want to control something, you want the attention from that. You want the outcome. When my wife, Danielle, and I get on the phone, there's like this phenomenon. Our boys go crazy. Does any other parents have this happen to them? Like, you get on the phone, and your kids, who were completely quiet, like, 1 second ago, you're on the phone, and all of a sudden, there's something inside of them. It's like, I'm alive, and I am here to torment you, and you cannot do anything about it because you're on the phone. There's this wonderful thing called the mute button, and boy, I use it. And so finally, it dawned on me the other day. Actually, I was studying for this message, and I sat down both of my boys, and I said, I figured you out. I said, I got you guys. When mom and dad get on the phone, you realize that now you have some competition for our attention. And now you are going to see who we're going to choose. Well, let me just say something to both of you boys. And they had smiles on their faces. You know, they knew dad was about to bring it, right? I said, you always have my attention, but I'm going to give you my attention when it's most appropriate. And when dad and mom are on the phone, you can come up and you can hug us and you can put your arm around us, but you cannot be loud and crazy. And you know what? It hasn't gotten much better. But I felt so much better because now I know what the problem is. They're wanting devotion, intent to their, pick me more than your phone call. And let me tell you something, when you control something, your heart is crying out saying, want me, hold me, love me, pick me. That's what your heart is saying. And Jesus from the cross is saying, I've already picked you. I love you. You don't have to be in a battle for my attention. You have my undivided attention. I'm never on the phone. I'm never busy. I've already picked you. And so Jesus gave his life not because he had to, but because he wanted to prove his complete devotion to us. Number three. Let's bring this all together. We understand that we have to put it in the Father's hands. We do that by surrendering control. We say, yeah, I know. I wanna entrust it to him. But where do I start? Let me tell you where Jesus started. With his Spirit. And so broken hearts are fixed by focusing on eternity. He said, into thy hands I commend, or I give my spirit. God, here's my spirit. Now there's a lot of talk about what is a spirit? Is it a soul? No, the soul is the immaterial part of man. A spirit is the difference between the animal kingdom and humans. I mean, it is not just consciousness. Animals are conscious. But the Bible describes the spirit as not just self-consciousness or awareness, it's God consciousness. The fact is, God has given every person a spirit, and that spirit bears witness with the fact that there's a God. Now, I have a friend, and I don't agree if you do this, and if there's someone in here, you're like, man, I'm not sure if I believe in God. Some people would say, well, God says that at some point you believed in him. You bear with, you had consciousness of him. But the reality is that all of us are given a spirit by God. And Ecclesiastes says that that spirit one day will return to God. And God gives us a spirit with a choice to entrust him with that spirit or not. And Jesus started his entire earthly ministry getting baptized to show that he was surrendering to the eternal plan for God. And what happened when his spirit was surrendered to God? When his spirit was surrendered to God, he was baptized by John. And John said this, and I think we have Matthew chapter 3. John says this. He's like, no, you cannot. You need to baptize me. I don't need to baptize you. He's like, what in the world? Why should I baptize the Son of God? Like, and Jesus says this. He says, suffer it to be so. He's like, no, you're going to do it. You're going to do this now. I love that word, now. When Jesus says do it now, yeah, I think you should do that, right? John's like, okay, all right. You don't have to push. So he says, be to fulfill all the righteousness, meaning everything that's the internal plan of God hinges on this moment for me to surrender myself to the mission of God. This is him beginning his ministry. By the way, everything in your life of growth begins with obedience. And Jesus was obeying. Next week, we're going to have a baptism Sunday. And if you're here and you are interested, right after this service, I'm going to give you some information. I'm going to show you the shirt. I'm going to tell you about the awesome time we're going to have of baptism. I'll explain it to you. So there's be an interest meeting right after the service for those of you that have contacted me or if you're interested in baptism. But when Jesus was baptized, he was saying to God, I am surrendering myself. I am focusing on your eternal mission. And when he came up out of the water, he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him. And it was a voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You know what God is so well pleased at? When you align your passion with his mission. When you submit to his mission for your life, for his meaning. This is what he did. The Spirit rested on him. And he started in the wilderness with 40 days of prayer and fasting, and the Spirit led him into the wilderness, and he was focusing his heart on every step of growth. And that's what we're focused on here at New Life, is every step of growth. Now, baptism isn't just for Baptists, it's for Bible believers who believe that the Holy Spirit is inside of them, and now they want to show the death, burial, and resurrection of God. And so Jesus started with his priorities. Now, it's interesting that the first thing we hear about Jesus in his earthly ministry, is getting lost in Jerusalem. You know, his parents, his earthly parents, Mary and Joseph, they left him in Jerusalem. And then, of course, we see him saying, I must be about my father's business. I must be on my father's mission. And that mission, of course, was to come and die on the cross for the salvation of souls. And Peter put it this way, let us suffer according to the will of God. He said, we have our own cross we need to bear. And commit the keeping of our souls in him, in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. Let me tell you, when you decide to focus on your eternal mission, your family will be in harmony. Your life will have meaning. Your heart will be fixed. Not just fixed and mended. It will be focused on the mission of God for your life. And let me tell you, this is completely addicting. This is completely liberating. When you decide, okay, God, I'm gonna throw myself into your faithful arms. How many of you know we have a good, faithful Father? And so to illustrate this today, I want to introduce you to my son, Chandler, okay? Chandler, come on up here, man. He got to get out of the children's class today. And this is Chandler. He's 5 years old, just started kindergarten, okay? And one of his great skills is jumping. You're pretty good at jumping? In fact, I asked him if we could do this, and he said, only if I can do a front flip. I said, no, we're not going to do any front flips. But I am going to I'm going to show you the thought behind what Jesus was saying. And by the way, I want you to put up our passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 23, and we'll end with this. Luke chapter 23, and in verse number 46, it says, verse number 46, it says, and when Jesus cried with what? A loud voice. Now, I don't expect you to understand this, but if you've ever been around someone who is dying, there's nothing loud about it. In the sense that there's no strength. It's maybe a whisper. Many people's last words are just a whisper. They're just a whisper. Jesus had the strength to call out to God with all the might he had, with a very mighty loud voice, and say, Father, here I am. It was a complete surrender to him. Okay? And so Chan's pretty good at jumping. You want to jump to me? Okay? Try. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Did a good job. Now, here's what happens, okay? Whether it's in the car if he falls asleep, or on the rare occasion somehow he makes himself into our, you know, lets himself into our room, and I'm having to carry him back to his room. He's probably like, man, I woke up in my room. It all happens with him being transferred from trusting himself to completely trusting in my arms. It was many of those times of me carrying him, where he would trust me not to drop him. Let me tell you something. The more you place yourself in the arms of God, the more you will trust him. And the more you will allow him to have control in your life. And so if Chandler's up here and he's really, really scared, and he doesn't, he wants to trust me. I'm gonna hold on to this. He wants to trust me, but this is what makes him feel safe. This is his security blanket. He feels safe, and so he holds on to this. And I'm like, down here, I'm like, Chandler, jump to me. And he wants to reach out for me. Nope, hold on to that. He wants to, but how many of you know he can't jump into my arms if he's holding on to something? And so the point that I'm trying to make is that just like a child has to place themselves into their father's arms physically, spiritually, there needs to be a moment where you place your complete trust in him. And then, Christian, every single day, there needs to have a moment where you say, okay, God, you got to have control. God, I took the reins again. I'm sorry. I wrecked the cart. I need to get it back on track. God, here I am. My life is in your hands. Thank you, Chandler. Appreciate it. So here's the takeaway. The choice is between trusting self and trusting Christ. Bless you. And so here's the takeaway. We must place anything we are tempted to hold on to into the Father's hands. Again, some of you are like, man, I trust God, and I'm completely willing. Where do I start? And I say, well, if you've begun a relationship with Jesus Christ, that first step is baptism. Some of you say, man, I'm holding on to my time. I don't want to give God any of my time. Place a little bit of it in his hands and see what he does with it. Some of you say, I just don't know if I could surrender my children or my marriage. Let me just encourage you. He was the giver of those good gifts anyway. Place them in the Father's hands. Some of you say, man, I mean, I can give a little to God, but I could never give 10%. Why don't you try God? Why don't you test him? Just say, okay, God, I'm going to jump off this ledge into your arms, and I'm going to trust that you're going to catch me. Some of you maybe are like, I have so many questions that are unanswered, and now I'm going to get them out in the open. I'm going to ask somebody. I'm going to place these doubts into his hands. I don't know what it is, friend. But instead of holding on to it, why don't you place it into his loving hands?
Thanks again for listening. If you would like to learn more about our church or how to get connected, check us out online at findnewlife.church or find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook under the handle Find New Life. Have an amazing day.